Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I would like to say we are broadcasting live from San Jose, California. And I tell you, we are in a midst of a true battle here in this country. But let's talk a little bit about the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan. I'm going to read this article. Of course, I wrote it. It says, the state of Michigan forced a $2.3 million loan down the throats of the citizens of Benton Harbor. The loan will keep them in debt. If you make a loan to pay off the debt, you are not getting rid of the debt. You are putting your city on the line to cover that debt and could possibly fail. This is a quick and loan deal where our city has been put up as collateral. Benton Harbor has a lot of financial problems. It is one of the many cities in the union that have lost their industrial tax base. Like other cities, the city continued bleeding residents while doling out financial giveaways to the corporations that remain, like Whirlpool Corporation. Many metropolitans like Benton Harbor, due to the budget cut, have abandoned their police force and many services. This allows the county and state agencies to come in and take over. Governor Snyder signed a bill, an emergency manager bill, that allowed him to take over or even eliminate whole cities, schools, and locally elected officials. Then puppets are installed to help the giant corporations like Whirlpool take over cities. Whirlpool is like a wild horse or a group of wild horses. Either one, they run you down, destroy your city and town, and make your job or take their jobs to China or someplace else. If you do not tame them, Whirlpool is unrestrained, and they will destroy you. Whirlpool is unrestrained by Benton Harbor Mayor James Hightower, who is being recalled, who allowed the corporation to dump their costs on the city residents. This is one way that Whirlpool maximized profit for shareholders at the expense of the people of Benton Harbor. Commissioner Marcus Muhammad told the Herald Plain, after 4 years of emergency, quote-unquote, management, the city has been subjected to a loan. Debt is slavery. And a move as such only cripples the city of Benton Harbor and places us in a position where we the people, have to pay it back. He added, it is gravely unfortunate that the state opt to support a loan opposed through revenue by undermining the city income tax in the city of Benton Harbor, which 90% of the people who work in Benton Harbor, Michigan, do not live there. Commissioner Trent Bowen told the Herald Plain he was also unhappy to hear that the loan has been approved. The city needs to generate revenue, not take on more debt. You have an opportunity to bring in revenue, and you encourage the resident to defeat it so you can get a loan to put the city in more debt. It is unfortunate that Mayor Hightower, who is a strong Whirlpool supporter, opt to support this loan and oppose revenue by undermining the city income tax. It is time for the residents of Benton Harbor to take a stand against elected officials who have the best interests of the corporation at heart and not the best interests of the resident. Mayor James Hightower is desperate. He's panicking. He has called in the sheriff to go out and investigate the signatures. They're kicking in people's doors, slamming people to the ground, asking them one question: did you sign this petition against the mayor? Who will believe it? Who will believe it? You people out there, we are in a war, and you just don't know it. We are fighting for our lives. Those of you out there, you got to take a stand and do what's right. I tell you, I had a glorious time last night in Los Angeles. It was beautiful. I tell you, it's got a chance to meet some of the folks I never met before. And I also met my good friend Richard Fine. I tell you, he's the attorney Richard Fine, former attorney Richard Fine. Not just an ordinary guy, he's a great guy. He's my hero. And I want you to know, those of you out there, I love Richard Stein. And I want you to know that he's a man that you should be listening to. He's a man with a plan. So let's bring in Richard Stein. Richard Stein, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Great. How you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. It was a wonderful time last night here in Los Angeles, and I'm really happy that I gather you're broadcasting from San Jose tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want the people in San Jose to know all about you, Richard Stein. I want them to know that you are a man with a plan, and I want them to know that it can be done if they operate and do the things that need to be done.
Well, that's true, and you know, I guess man with a plan is a wonderful alliteration. And basically, I think we should really get right into it. Since the last time that I was on the show and I talked about our campaign for judicial integrity, we've really put the plan into action. Right now, we have put together what is known as the pledge for all candidates for judicial office to take. And the pledge is a real simple type thing. And the pledge basically reads as follows. It says, eradicating judicial corruption is the highest priority for an elected official. If elected to the government office of, and the candidate fills in the office, I pledge to eradicate judicial corruption, ensure judicial integrity, and restore our rights to access to the courts, due process, and a fair trial as required under the Constitution, the law, and the rule of law. I will sponsor and support legislation, executive orders, and all remedies at the local, state, and federal levels to eradicate judicial corruption and accomplish these results for my constituents. Real simple. Now, the candidate, you know, just comes to our website, which is http://voteforjustice.org. And I'm going to repeat that. http://www.voteforjustice.org. And when he gets there, he sees a little thing at the bottom in blue. It's called Candidate's Pledge. And he hits on that, and there's the candidate's pledge. And he can download that, and he completes it. And then he fills out the candidate's pledge. It has, you know, his name, government office, and all these things. And he submits that. And what happens is that comes up on our website. And then he's registered. And we will be coming up with a matrix that will operate state by state that will tell the name of every candidate who signed the pledge. And then what we ask the voters to do is to go out, and this is the key. This is where we all work together. This is how we cooperate. Like last night, Reverend, you talked about all of us working together because that's the only way that we succeed. Now, what we're asking the public to do, and all of your listeners, and to spread this word, you go out, and when you see a candidate, or you go to any speech that a candidate's making, you ask that candidate, have you signed the pledge? And if they say no, you tell them, look, you get on your iPhone, or whatever phone you're using, you go into the website, you sign the pledge right now while we're sitting in this meeting. Or if you run into the candidate anywhere else, you tell them to do the same thing. Or you call the candidate's manager and make sure that the candidate signs the pledge. Then we spread the word to make sure that everyone asks these candidates for whatever office they're running, whether it's United States Senator, congressmen, mayors, state assembly people, state senators, dog catchers, people running for school boards, everyone to sign the pledge. Then when it comes time to voting, and this becomes the real key, particularly in the primaries, We only vote for the people that have signed the pledge. Now, here's the beauty of this. 2014 is an off year. Not that many people are going to be voting in 2014. Therefore, it's not going to be taking too many votes to win an election in any particular district. So what happens is that if we get in there and we vote for only the candidates that have taken the pledge, we're the swing vote. Because with a few hundred or a few thousand votes in a primary election where a lot of people are running, the candidate who has taken the pledge with our votes can win. Because if you have 10 candidates running and you only have a few thousand people voting in each of these districts, you know, a few thousand votes or a few hundred votes can swing an election one way or another. So when you take a look at the breakdown of how votes are going to run, they're probably going to run according to party registrations. And I'm just going to give you an idea nationally of how these registrations are running. Nationally, the registrations are running about 29% Republican, maybe 39% Democrat, and 41% Independent. No single party can win an election strictly on their registrations. They need the independents. But we're putting in a new factor here. We're putting in a factor of a block of people who will vote only for the candidate that has signed this pledge. And that block's going to cross the party lines. So we actually are the swing vote. We actually have the power, if we get together and do this, to swing an election and put in only candidates that have signed the pledge. Then once we do that, we ride these candidates to make sure that they do what they're pledged to do. And if they don't do it, we kick them out. Now, the beauty of all this is very, very simple. What we are doing is we're changing the dynamic of the elections. Instead of having the parties tell us what the issues are, we're telling the candidates, look, we're making the issues. We're telling you what is important to us. And that's getting rid of judicial corruption. And the reason for it is because there's only one part of government that we really don't have control over. And that's the judiciary. And the reason is that the federal judiciary, they're appointed as long as they operate in good behavior. Well, good behavior is sort of a strange definition. And the only way you can get rid of a federal judge is really by impeachment. That's effectively that. They might go out through a commission, but that's never happened. In the state systems, 39 states elect their judges. The other ones appoint the judges. Now, I'm going to give you some statistics here, that there are basically 875 sitting federal judges at the present time. And there are approximately 30,000 state judges that are sitting. In the history of the United States, only 15 federal judges were impeached. Out of those 15 federal judges, only 7 were convicted, and the remaining either resigned, were dismissed, or were acquitted. In the last 15 years, only 2 state judges were impeached. So that gives you an idea that our legislators, our commissions, and our government officials have abdicated their duty to remove the corrupt judges. So it's up to us to get in there and elect those government officials who are going to do the job to put in the legislation and the executive orders and everything else to get rid of the corrupt judges. We're the only ones that can do it. Now, our present officials aren't doing it. So basically, we have to either get them to sign the pledge if they're running for re-election to pledge to do it, or put in new people that are going to do it. So that's our problem. Go ahead.
Absolutely. One of the things that that I thought about, will we be taking this all across the country?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
This is going national because basically this goes everywhere. Every place that you have any type of corruption or any, you know, we take this for every official everywhere because I'll tell you, corruption is existing every place. I'm just going to give you the extreme example. Let's take California. In California, since the mid-1980s, the judges have received over $400 million in illegal payments. Now, these payments have come primarily from counties who have been making payments to state judges. The state judges in California are elected. The counties don't pay them. In fact, the counties don't even have the right to pay them. Their compensation is set by the state government. But the counties got in there and started paying them. And
Right. Basically
what happens is that the counties, by paying them, the judges have ended up deciding the cases in favor of the counties. So you and I have lost and will lose every case where a county is involved. And that goes from a traffic ticket to a divorce to child custody, child support, foster care, guardianship, conservatorship, a county problem, a criminal case, and where the district attorney is the county prosecutor. But this gets even worse because it also extends to any federal case where the federal judge is a former state judge who received these illegal payments or protected a judge who received these payments. Now, I'm going to give you my personal example. Here, in my situation, where I took on a judge who was receiving $830,000 of illegal payments from L.A. County, and he throws me in jail for contempt. So what happens? I do a writ of habeas corpus. I go into the federal court. The federal court ends up protecting this judge, and it goes up into the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit protects him, violating the constitutional civil rights and everything, that a judge can't decide his own case. And also that a judge who is receiving money can't decide the case and should be out of it, and all the way up into the U.S. Supreme Court. And then they also end up disbarring me on false charges. Now, what happens? It turns out that on the disbarment, the state bar admits that the disbarment was a fraud, because the reason they disbarred me is because I brought cases against the judges for having taken the illegal payments. We go to the California Supreme Court to get rid of the disbarment, but 5 out of the 7 judges on the California Supreme Court took the illegal payments, and the 6th one wrote a bill that the California legislature passed called SBX 211, which says that the judges who got these illegal payments got retroactive immunity from criminal prosecution, civil liability, and disciplinary action. Well, 90% of the judges, of the California judges, had received these illegal payments. So California now has a judiciary with 90% of the judges having been legislated as criminals and getting immunity from criminal prosecution. So you lose out there. In the federal court, when I sued these judges and I sued the state bar and the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court judges, the first judge who was on the case was a judge from Orange County, a former Orange County Superior Court judge, who got the illegal payments. She goes against me. We end up in the Ninth Circuit. We have judges there who got illegal payments. I come back in and I show the fraud. This judge resigns, but doesn't resign. She transfers the case. We get a new judge who is a former president of the state bar. He transfers the case. And now I'm in front of another judge who's another former Orange County Superior Court judge who's ruling against me. So this shows that you're going to get screwed no matter what happens, because the federal judges are protecting the state court judges. In the other case, it comes out that the L.A. Superior Court and the judge, Judge Yaffe, admit that They had a visceral hatred against me. They wanted revenge against me. They wanted to silence me, and they wanted to take me out of communication. And they and the sheriff and all of their lawyers kept this from the court. They kept it from the district court. They kept it from the Ninth Circuit, and they kept it from the United States Supreme Court. So now I'm back in on this fraud, and naturally the judge is protecting them, so he denies my motion. I'm up in front of the Ninth Circuit on a motion. They've been holding the motion for 60 days. I brought this motion in front of the Ninth Circuit. They refused to file it, saying that the case was closed, they weren't going to take any more motions. And I put it in front of the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court did the same thing. So that shows how you're never going to win in the court system. Mm-hmm. So the only way that we're going to...
What would you suggest we do then?
That's why we've got to end up doing what we're doing here with the campaign. Because we can't fight the judges in their own ballpark.
Absolutely.
We're going to lose. You know, we have a video on our campaign website about William Goebel, who was kept away from his children, from his son, for years. In fact, he's still being kept away from the son by judges who took money from Orange County. And he went in and took them on all the way up through the California Supreme Court, right on down the line. They denied him everything, even though these judges were on the take. And he still hasn't seen his son. So it just shows you the only way that we can beat these people out is to go in there and put in legislators and government officials who are going to change things. I did an amendment to SBX 211 that would go in and remove these judges who got this retroactive immunity and take away their pensions, because we're paying them $25 to $30 million a year in retirement benefits. We would take that away, saving us $450 million in the next 25 years. That went into Jerry Brown.
Richard, let me ask you this. Here in Bering County, the judges get a percentage of the court calls and fines which goes into their retirement. Wouldn't that be illegal?
It's absolutely illegal. In fact, what it is, there's a case called Toomey versus Ohio. And that case was exactly a situation there. It worked on traffic tickets. And if the judge got a percentage of the traffic ticket, it was held to be illegal. And there are other cases that follow that say exactly the same thing. So it's right out straight violation of the Constitution. It's a violation of due process.
Wow.
So straight out illegal. But what I'm saying is that the only way that we can beat this out, since you can't beat out the judges in their own area, is that we go in and we put in the legislation. And getting back to my amendment, I sent that amendment to every sitting legislator in California. None of them have done anything about it. Jerry Brown, we sent it to him, he's the governor. When he was the Attorney General of California, we asked him to prosecute these judges. He didn't do it. We asked Eric Holder to prosecute the judges because their action is a violation of the intangible right to honest services. He didn't do it. We've sent it to Obama. He hasn't done it. So basically, the only thing that we can do is to put in a new group of government officials who are pledged to get rid of judicial corruption. That is our solution. The interesting thing, like last night, you know, one of the people was talking about the different revolutions in America, 1776, Abraham Lincoln in the 1863. I think that was the year of the Emancipation Proclamation. And then coming into the civil rights legislation and the voting rights legislation. Well, I mentioned last night that we have a revolution in America every 2 years, because every 2 years, the entire House of Representatives is up for re-election. And every 2 years, one-third of the United States Senate is up for re-election. Right now, 33 United States senators are up for election or re-election. In California, every 2 years, the entire state assembly is up for re-election, and one-half of the state senate is up for re-election. So we actually have a revolution. It's called voting. And we can manifest that revolution by doing what we're doing here. We make
absolutely.
The issue.
Absolutely. You know what? What you're saying. You know what you're saying is so powerful. But listen, you got 4 more minutes to sum up everything here, and then I got to bring on my next guest, Ralph Porner. But listen, do what you can. Tell us more about it, and tell us how we can get this thing in operation.
Okay, here it is. What we do is, first of all, every person should go to our website. Once again, it's http://www.voteforjustice.org. Take a look at the website, then go out and get every candidate for every office to sign the pledge, then put together your organizations and vote only for the people that have signed the pledge. And then spread this word everywhere. Put it on social media. Do everything you possibly can to get this thing going. And get together in groups in your cities, in your counties, in your states, informal groups and any groups that are together formally, and just go out and just keep doing it, because this thing can spread like wildfire. And if we do that, we will get this accomplished. You know, this doesn't require big formal groups. It just requires people getting together and doing it. You do this, and then you vote. And you vote only for these candidates. And we just keep getting together on your program, and we just keep this thing going. We have a motto. It's called Exercise Your Rights, Vote for Justice. Real simple. Just keep that in mind. And we hold these people to hold their feet to the fire. And this is the way that we do it. And we can do this. We not only can do it, but we can win. And we will win.
And basically that was my message last night. We can win this thing if we do what we're supposed to do. People have to get out here and start moving. We have to start looking. People don't even know what the end game is right now. But I know. I know that it's going to have to be a revolution. And just like you said, every 2 years there is a revolution. We can get rid of them bombs. You know,
exactly.
But I think it's going to have to be something bigger than that. But listen, Richard Stein, I really appreciate you. It was an honor meeting with you last night. And I would like for you to come on again and keep telling people about it until they get it.
Well, I'll come on. I'm willing to come on every time you'll let me on, and we'll just keep pushing this, because the primary elections are the key, because it's in the primaries where we have the greatest amount of power. So we'll just keep pushing, and I'll try and come on every time I can, and we'll just push this, and we're going to do it. Because, you know, there's another famous saying, and that's action talks, bullshit walks.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Okay, Reverend Pinky. Take care.
All
God
right,
bless
all right,
you.
Richard Stein, I will talk to you soon. And
okay,
thank you so much for being on the show.
All righty. Okay, bye-bye now.
All right. I tell you, we had a tremendous time last night. Those of you that was in L.A., I know that you had a great time, and, it went beyond the call of duty. But now it's time to bring on the man of the hour, a guy from New York. Don't hold that against him because he's from New York. He's a good guy. I say he's a good guy who has gone bad. Ralph Porner. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and I want to thank you for the program that you bring on every week, and as the previous guest was talking about, was the mechanics of democracy. And let's boil it down to a few words. What you have been preaching and working on over the years as support the candidate who supports your issue. Very simple. And when we talk about the mechanics of law, we must remember a basic thing that Lynn Stewart has taught us. The law is exactly what they say it is at any given moment. And the law is not about justice. So what are we left with? The mechanics of democracy, or the reality that we have to educate people to defend their own rights, that is to vote for those who support them. The problem is how do we do this education? What are the dynamics of education? You show the dynamic of education every day you go to the court, a court watcher, to make people understand that every day they determine the law as they see fit. And they see fit to put us in jail, as you went to jail for quoting the Bible. And they have so many of our political prisoners in jail, not based on justice, but based on the law that they say it is at any given time. Let me give you an example. Now, just recently, we saw President Obama in South Africa smiling and talking about Nelson Mandela and his struggle. But at the same time that he's smiling and talking about Nelson Mandela and his struggle, there's several things that he leaves out. What he left out is the role of the Cuban soldier. One of every four Cuban families served in Africa. What were they doing serving in Africa? They were fighting the Americans, the Israelis, and the apartheid government of South Africa that was running a system of slavery. And after that war, what did they do but come up with a situation called truth and reconciliation? And what they did with this truth and reconciliation was allowed torturers, killers, those who disappeared people, took people from their families, buried them in secret graves. They said, let's forgive them. And many people agreed with that. And at the same time, we have people in America in jail for 30 years, 40 years, who were fighting this unjust system, and everybody turns their back on them because they say they carried a gun. So carrying a gun in self-defense is worse than carrying a gun of oppression. This is hypocrisy in its grandest form. And what? How do we deal with that? Well, we have to look at the act and say, we will not support anyone who doesn't support us. And we had, what was the outstanding numbers? We had 90-some percent of black women voting for Obama, 87% of black men voting for Obama. And what did he do? He destroyed the rights of those who fought on our behalf. They're still in jail. Lynn Stewart recently got out of jail, but the story must be told is how they tried to kill her before she got out of jail. And I say that, and they say, isn't that extreme? And I say, well, let us remember the week that she went to jail, she was due to have a necessary operation in New York City. When did she get the operation? 18 months later. Well, if that's not trying to kill somebody, somebody's going to have to explain to me what death through the back door is. And then when she was there, they kept giving her the wrong medicine. But for our daughter, who was a doctor, who knew they were giving her the wrong medicine, she would have been dead. But when she said, they're killing me, and I began to speak on the radio speaking against this, the doctor called my daughter and said, your father is going to ruin the reputation of the hospital she was in and of the prison system. And I said, that was my intent. Listen to my daughter and save her life. They changed her prescription, and she immediately got better. But only after 18 months did she get an operation, which the attending physician said it was the worst he had ever seen in his whole career due to the delay. And then when cancer reappeared while she was in prison, after they had discovered the cancer, it was 4 months before they began to treat it. What are we talking about? We're talking about a system that is totally hypocritical. We're talking about a president and Congress and a country that was racist. We don't have to go into the history of South Africa or the whole Horn of Africa. All of the countries, Angola, Mozambique, et cetera, where people were fighting for freedom, those people who were fighting for freedom are still imprisoned while we forgive those who denied them their freedom through torture, terror, etc. Then that brings us, we don't have to go that far, that brings us back to the United States. Here we have in America where we had the apartheid system called Jim Crow, and it continues to this very day. And what do? We go out and support politicians who supported the Jim Crow. We go out and support politicians who do not support those who fought for freedom. And as the gentleman was saying, we don't need a list to see who did it. We do need a sign-up sheet. Every politician that doesn't support our political prisons should never be voted for. And Mr. Obama, number one. And if you don't exercise that vote, then the vote is ridiculous. And let us remember that go to Haiti, when Aristide received 74% of the vote, the U.S. Marines took him out of there with a bayonet and said, you are no longer president. So much for democracy, so much for the American Congress, so much for the black congressional caucus. And when Maxine Waters and others said, we have to go to Haiti to stop that, let the Marines put the bayonets on us, the black congressional caucus backed out. Now, as your gentleman was saying, well, if you get it right and force people to vote, or people feel they are forced to vote for the people who support them, we look at the Puerto Rican political prisoners. They got their prisoners up, all 20 of them. Only one remains in jail, and he remains in jail, and he says he's not going to tolerate the conditions that they give him for getting out. But they know they're going to have to release him because no Puerto Rican politician could get elected if he didn't support what the community wanted, and they wanted their political prisoners free. And now we go back to how does one educate their community? Well, this is what you've been doing. When you stopped Whirlpool, when you brought their stock down to junk stock, when you forced them to change their name from Whirlpool to KitchenAid, and they'll change it to anything else, because you educated the public, do not support with their dollars an organization that worked against the community. When you talked about emergency managers and coming to your state too, when you said they didn't do this just for Benton Harbor, that is take over the government, make your vote irrelevant. And when I say again, they made the vote irrelevant. They took over the city. Benton Harbor, and you said it's coming to your city next unless we can stop them with the vote. People didn't listen. They took it to Detroit. Pensions are like on third down. And they're going to carry that further as long as they're able to, as Lynn says, it calls Mr. Obama master of bait and switch. He can tell you and smile in your face and say A and do Z. And we've watched this for this is 5 years now, going on six, and people are not aware. Not only has he done it, the Black Congressional Caucus has done it, all of the Congress has done it. And as Lynn Stewart says, our Congress is corrupt. The difference between the Black corrupt Congress and the white corrupt Congress is that Black people can ill afford corrupt representation. And so we see how it goes. People must be educated to support their own actions. You are doing it perfectly, better than most others. And so the job that you have done, we don't have to get into all kind of, well, it is great to have ways of doing it, have people go to their computer and see who signs a pledge to be honest. Well, let's bring the honesty right down to issues. We have issues that we have to insist that all politicians that we give the vote must support these issues. We know what that is called, and many people have false issues. They talk about abortion rights, you know, like they have to decide how a woman should control her body or how the control of a body of a woman should be assigned to someone else. This becomes a very basic thing. They vote around this, pro-abortion rights or anti-abortion rights. We have to have a list of rights and policies that we will support politicians on and other issues that we will go against them. They are economic issues. They are social issues. They are political issues. I think it's called a political platform. We must have a political platform, but we must have more than words. We must have actions over the years, throughout the years, of people who understand what the issues are, people who can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, and when it, what we tell them is going to happen tomorrow, when it happens, they must pay attention. And I'll conclude with that. We will continue doing what we have done. Here's a prediction. The dollar you have today, it will be worth less than next week than it is now. What is happening? The United States is fighting with Russia on an issue of land, turf, democracy, voting, and it's almost, I have to laugh, and I'm saying, well, let's first have democracy in Florida and Ohio, and in both of those instances, we wouldn't have had Bush as a president. Let's have democracy in Haiti, and then we don't have to go 6,000 miles away to talk about democracy. And what has happened is we have three capitalist countries, powerful capitalist countries, fighting over the resources of the world, and they are talking about economic sanctions. When they begin to fight, Russia has economic power, China has economic power. When they use it against the Americans, the only answer the Americans have is to produce more dollars. And as they print more dollars, because the government prints money, the dollar that you have becomes less valuable. And so all of these issues we must understand. And so I go back to Benton Harbor. Here's a community that's being abused, and here's a person like yourself who's fighting it and trying to educate people as to who to support and who not to support. And until we get that, until we understand who is on our side and who is not, and take actions to do it, and I'm convinced that words will not do it. They have to see you in those courts every day. They have to see you get people out of these horrendous situations. They have to see you stopping the police from killing people in the street. And then maybe they will pay attention. Hopefully they will pay attention. And one day, maybe democracy and the whole idea of justice will come together. But it won't be easy. Freedom ain't free. We have to fight for it. Continue. Reverend Pinckney, doing your job, count me in that number. They say when the saints go marching in, count me in that number. Count me in the number of educating the people alongside of you, behind you, in front of you, and supporting all of those people who support us. Lynn Stewart, thanks you for your support. She is out here. She has joined our number. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney, and listeners.
And thank you so much. And tell Lynn Stewart, tell her that that I love her, and tell her that we're going to continue this fight until the end. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Rafi, I'm going to move on. And I want to make sure that we understand that, you know, that we're in this fight together.
We are in this
and,
fight.
And to me, that's the most important thing I can tell you. So let's stay focused and do the things that need to be done, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, Rafi.
The rest of your rest of
all
your
right, guests. You make sure you hang in there. Thank you, Rafi.
I'm hanging in here.
All right, now that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. My good friend Ralph Pornham from New York, my guy. He's the man of the moment, and he's the guy. Well, we want you to know we love you very much, Ralph, and you and Lynn and all my New Yorkers out there, and we're going to continue this fight. We're not going to stop. This fight is not a one-day thing. This is a lifetime. We're at war. We're fighting a war right now, and we got to win this war at all costs, whether they like it or not. I got to bring in my good friend from beautiful California, the young man, Fight for Your Rights. Fight for your rights. Let's listen to a little bit before we bring them on.
This joint was inspired by the greatest American who ever produced.
Fight for your right, my good friend, Chili Most from the West Coast. Chili Most, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I want to thank you for your hospitality, and I tell you, I had a tremendous time with you, and I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to keep up the good work that you're doing all across the country. Fight for your rights. I think that is a theme song that should be in every community, and we will continue to fight for our rights. Tell us a little bit about what you want us to know.
Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for your presence in Southern California. You're a great man of God, and you inspire me. Everywhere I go, I talk to people about my main man, Reverend Edward Pinckney, a real man who really represents fight for your rights. You know, a little bit over two years ago, we started the International Stop the Violence in Love with Love campaign because of the senseless killing that plagues humanity, you know, not only around this country but around the world. Since then, I've been on over 500 interviews on radio, over 200 million listeners, talking about two things, Reverend Pinckney: stop the violence and fight for your rights, both inspired by one of the greatest Americans this country's ever produced, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who stood for nonviolence and died for people's rights. And as we moved across the country, been blessed to meet so many great people, have my own radio show now, WVFG 107.5 FM, that you were blessed to be, blessed us with your presence on Friday. But I was talking to a great man of God, Reverend Jacob Davis, in July of 2012, and I asked him, I said, is it true that ministers in this country and around the world believe in the Ten Commandments and thou shalt not kill? He said, certainly we do. I said, well, I should have no problem getting support of ministers of all ages, races, genders, and religions, because it goes hand in hand with the concept of nonviolence, and it goes hand in hand with thou shalt not kill. And so I met Bishop Asen Phillips, my spiritual father, who I introduced to you yesterday, who marched with Dr. King, and we had ministers on September the 9th, 2012, 2 days before the world mourns 9/11, to preach a sermon, Stop the Violence. And as we fast forward into today, I met so many other great people. Pastor Jimmy Webb, who's a spiritual brother of mine, who marched with Dr. King as well, and was a part of the transition to get Brother Nelson Mandela out of jail in South Africa and help him become the president. And so fast forward to today, on April the 6th, just a few Sundays from now, we put out a clarion call for 10 million ministers to stand with one accord of all ages, races, genders, and religions to preach the sermon, Stop the Violence, In Love with Love, because God is love. Now, we figure it's going to be a great breakthrough, healing, and deliverance for the victims of crime and violence. And I've asked ministers around this country, if they have communications with the members of our young people who call themselves gang members, to invite them onto church on that day to join a new gang, and that's God's gang. Now, I've asked some of the young brothers in L.A., why do you join gangs? They said, well, we're looking for a family that we did not have a home. And so hopefully we can touch the brothers like we've been touching all around the country to join the new gang, and that's God's gang. And we're working along those lines. And Fight for Your Rights is a theme song of mine. So for those who's listening today, they can just simply go to YouTube, put in Chili Most, which is C-H-I-L-I-M-O-S-T, Fight for Your Rights. And a great friend of mine, Lynn Coles, who booked Nancy Wilson for over 30 years, told me when she first heard it, she said, that's the tenor of the times, Chili Most, because as you look around the world, no matter who you are or where you're at, everybody seems to be fighting for their rights to stand up for what's right in their own communities. And as you look in Ukraine and you look in Spain and Portugal and all around the world, in Africa and Australia, seems like everybody in South America are listening, are fighting for their rights. So the goal is, in the 1960s, when people was in the streets singing, "We Shall Overcome," I think that the goal today is for people by the end of the year to be singing Fight for Your Rights, my brother.
All right, and let's listen to a little bit more of that. All right, Chili Most from the West Coast. My friend, my brother, Chili, I must go. I got to leave you, just leave it right there, but I just want you to know I love you, and we're going to be talking soon.
All right, my brother, thank you so much for your time. This is Chili Most from 13th Street Records in Los Angeles. Peace.
All right, Chili Most from the West Coast, my good friend, my guy. Hey, I just want to know that, let everybody know we love you, Chili Most, and you just keep up the fight. I got to bring on my good friend, Mary. Mary, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney, thank you so much. This is Mary Neal. I was afraid that today they would not let you see my number on your board, which they often do when I have very pressing information. I believe that you have another number on your board. First three digits are 910. That would be Elizabeth Crudup. She is the mother of Shannon Nyamodi, the teenager, the black teenager, who is in jail in Franklin County, North Carolina, on false criminal charges. They allege that he shot a white woman who he actually helped after a white person shot her. He's in jail, and he is now in indefinite detention in order to alter his mind and force him into a false plea bargaining. He is kept from knowing that the world is finding out about his false arrest. He is kept from knowing that you care and I care about his false arrest. They will not allow him visitors. They will not allow him phone calls. They want him to feel that he has no choice but to sign a false confession. On Friday, his mother planned to be on two popular Block Talk radio shows. That's the Michael Lawson Show and the Alfonso Scott Show. On those shows, she planned to ask the public to please get out and help protest for Shannon Nyamodi's released from solitary prison torture. And she planned to do that Friday, but police there in Dunn, North Carolina, attacked her, beat her, and arrested her. And so she's on the line now to tell you about it.
Let's bring her on and listen to this. I think it may be time for us to do another phone bliss. I think it's time that we let North Carolina know that we're thinking about them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So do you see
listen,
her number?
I'm bring her on. Okay, what's her name?
Her name is Elizabeth Crudup.
Elizabeth, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you quite well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I just real quick want to give out Shannon's website. it's
go right ahead. Take your time. Matter of fact, if you want to tell more of the story, you got my permission to do. To go right ahead.
Okay. The website, first of all, is electbeth.wix.com/Shannon. So electbeth.wix.com/Shannon. My son Shannon was arrested in August of 2012 for coming to the aid of a woman who was shot in the face by a white male, and her daughter had planned and hired, and they had orchestrated this crime. My son's only fault was that he came to this woman's aid. He stayed with her. He made sure he met the police and flagged them down, and made sure they got to her on time. And he did all he knew as a human being to help this woman. The sheriff's department in Franklin County turned around and arrested my son later on that day and charged him with attempted murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and larceny of a firearm. The evidence all points. Yep, the evidence
Did they find a firearm?
Yes. The evidence, that's what I was about to say. The evidence all points to the fact that the firearm that they accused my son of stealing was found in its rightful place beside the woman's bed where she always keeps it. The Special Bureau of Investigation said that they could not find any communication between my son and this woman's daughter. So he has not talked to this woman's daughter, and he has not touched that firearm because all the DNA, fingerprints, et cetera, are for someone else. They won't say who. All they say is that it's not my son. So knowing, they know full well my son has not talked to this woman's daughter, like she told them in the beginning. My son had nothing to do with this crime, like every witness told them in the beginning. They know this full well. And they have hidden my son in solitary confinement to get him to start confessing to a crime he had nothing to do with. We are trying to get attention to this because he is incommunicado. He's in isolation, segregation, whatever you want to call it. He's in a room by himself, a tiny room by himself, most of the hours of the day. He's locked up in that room.
Listen, Elizabeth, do you have a number for that, for the jail where he's at? Because what we're going to do, we're going to do a phone blitz. If you get a chance, get my email from Mary and send me the phone number, and what we're going to do, we're going to get thousands and thousands of people to call that jail and let them know that we're here to help your son.
Yep, he's in the Franklin County Detention Center in North Carolina.
Franklin County, do you have a phone number for that?
I don't have a phone number yet. I'll have to look it up for you. I don't have it offhand. But I'll definitely
promise to send it to me by no later than tomorrow.
I sure will. I'll send it as soon as we get off this call. I'll definitely look it up and send it out.
And here's what I want you to do. I want you to come on next week, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to keep this thing going until they understand that we're serious about what we're doing.
Thank you very much, and I encourage everyone to visit the website to get the mailing address to write Shannon letters of encouragement.
Right. Repeat that again. Repeat the website.
Okay. It's electbeth.wix.com/Shannon.
All right. So listen, I will be in touch. You get me that phone number. We're going to start a phone blitz. We're going to let him know, and we're going to write letters to him and let him know that we're thinking about him so he can see the power of the people. We can do that.
Thank you very much.
And listen, thank you for letting the folks know that we're here to stay and that we're here to help in any way we can. So you just stay focused, do what needs to be done, and we're definitely here to support you. And on that note, it's T.I. time. It's time for my target individual, people who have been targeted by the government, microwave, lasers, you name it, they're here. But before I bring on my target target individuals. I got to send out a shout to my wife, who's in beautiful Benton Harbor shoveling snow. And I'm out here in the sunshine. I don't mean to rub it in, but facts is facts. My wife is there, and I am here. But I'm having a good time. So those of you who are out there, I want you to say a little prayer for my wife. Because she's doing, she's out there, she got to shovel the snow, whether she like it or not. On that note, I got to bring in my main man, my number one T.I., my guy, my man, Ken Rose. Ken Rose, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinney. Thank you for that. But, you know, Reverend Pinney, I listen to everything everybody's saying, and most people don't realize in this country right now, we do not have a representative government. Right now, it's a tyrannical government. They're taking all of our rights away. And look at the TIs, and who do you blame? I blame the American people, because a lot of them know what's going on, and all of them are cowards, don't want to open their mouth. We cannot hire lawyers in this country, not only the TIs, just like the lady speaking about her son trying to help somebody out. No, you can't get a lawyer. You can't get nobody to take it if they tell them not to take your case. To me, I don't understand it, but we've lost our country. And no court will stand up for anybody right now unless you're from the military-industrial complex or the corporations or all that. There's a company in California that the guy's an ex-Marine, opened up a gun shop. They come in and told him that they wanted all his people. He sold guns to 5,000 people, and he refused to give it to them. He went and got a restraining order against the DEA. I just turned on my computer a while ago, and they come in, they got another judge to override that one, and they were busting his door down on his business. So what rights do we have in this country? Absolutely none. So that's about all I'm saying. The American people better wake up, because no matter you say this is only my job, remember, that's what they said in Germany. That's what they said in a lot of other countries. It's only my job. Well, it's going to come to you next. So keep doing the evil stuff. Don't speak up for anybody else but yourself, and see how far that gets you. And thank you, Reverend Pinkney. I hope you're having a nice time out there. I got a grandson out, two grandsons out there, and one of them's coming back here next week to spend a few days with me. So
That's going to be amazing. He's coming there to enjoy some of that snow, huh?
Yeah, he asked me if we still had any left. I told him, yeah, we got plenty left.
Absolutely. I know when I drove out of that snow, drove out to the airport, it was snowing like cats and dogs there.
Oh, yeah. We got a couple of days ago about 6 or 8 inches, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got something to look forward to when you come back.
Oh, unfortunately, we will have a little snow left just for me.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Pinkney. Keep doing
all right.
Great,
you take care of yourself, and we'll be talking very, very soon.
Hey, you know, on that lady, Reverend Pinkney.
Yes, yes.
On that lady, instead of calling the jail, she should get the district attorney's number, and I'll definitely make that call. I mean, if you put it out, but she should get the district attorney that's filing the charges more than the jail.
Yeah, okay. We'll do exactly that. We'll get the prosecutor like we did before.
Yeah, build a little fire under his feet.
Yeah, okay. Got you, big kid. Thanks so much, man. Listen, it's time to bring on my good friend, Gloria. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing today?
I'm good. We haven't gotten
I just love that voice of yours. When I don't hear that voice, I'll be thinking about coming down to Philadelphia to find out what's going on with you.
Well, wait until it snows and you can help me shovel.
No. That's what I'm running away from.
Well, Reverend Pinkney, today I'm introducing a group called APAC. That stands for African People Against Covert Technologies. And the reason we're doing this group like this. We're under the auspices of Empress Chi. She did the Million Woman March 16 years ago, which I attended that march. There was Winnie Mandela. She was one of the speakers. Anyone you can imagine, they were on the podium speaking. So we decided to let's really put something together and put in the government's face. Today I am going to read something called The Dark History of Medical Experimentation on Black Americans from Colonial Times to the Present. It's a book by Harriet Washington called Medical Apartheid. It is a history of medical experimentation on African Americans from the era of slavery to the present day. This book presents the first full account of Black America's mistreatment as unwitting subjects of medical experimentation. Medical Apartheid traces the convoluted history of medical experimentation on Black Americans in the USA since the middle of the 18th century. Harriet Washington urges that divisive forms of racial discrimination have shaped both the relationship between white physicians and black patients and the attitude of the latter towards modern medicine in general. The book is divided into three parts. The first is about the cultural memory of medical experimentation. The second examines recent cases of medical abuse and research, while the last addresses the complex relationship between racism and medicine. Some topics discussed are well known, such as this Tuskegee syphilis study from 1932 to 1972, in which African Americans suffering with the disease of syphilis were prevented from receiving the necessary medication by the U.S. Public Health Service so the evolution of the disease could be observed. But other episodes are less well known to the general public. The book also mentions cases of medical experimentation in Africa and their links to African-American cases. Now, Reverend Pinckney, there was a young lady, she was a slave. She went into labor for 3 days, and she just couldn't deliver the baby, so they got the doctor, a Dr. Marion Sims in South Carolina. Dr. Sims goes in her vaginal area and just cuts and, you know, breaks the sac and pulls the baby out. Well, little did he know how much damage he'd done to her. She became incontinent. She couldn't work the fields because she could not control her bowels or her urine. They sent her then to the hospital that was on the plantation, and it was merely a tent with a sheet on the ground. They had her climb on a table. 3 other doctors stood around and looked at her. They couldn't figure out, oh, this is what it is. It's something called a fistula, and it's like when one part of the organ is connected to another organ. This doctor did 30 operations trying to correct this. No anesthesia, no opiates, nothing. And they felt that he did such a great job that they named him the father of gynecology. So that's why AIPAC came together, so we can shed light on them, on basically on the medical profession, because they're a big, they stonewall us. They stonewall us. They're the ones, my friend Elvira will go to the doctors, and the next call I get, I'm in the mental hospital. What? The doctor sent me here. So by having this many women, because when the march did occur, it was 2.5 million sisters that attended. So that's what we're working on, is getting that many people, and hopefully next week we're going to the UN. Thank you for listening.
Wow, thank you so much, Gloria. That was tremendous. You know, I plan to be with y'all also. I'm going to see what I can do when y'all get ready to have that Million Women March again, anniversary. I do plan to be there. But listen, I want to thank you so much for what you do. It's amazing. Keep spreading the word. Keep letting people know that there is and there are a such thing as TI, target individuals, people who are being targeted by our government. And they are not crazy. These are people who have issues, or the governor have issues with them. So we must continue to let the world know, whether they like it or not. We know at least 500,000 people are listening today, and we know that they're going to actually hear about target individuals. So on that note, I got to let you go. I got to bring in my good friend Dorothy, and I'll talk to you soon, Gloria. Much love for you.
All right. Thank
you. All right now.
Peace.
Dorothy, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Good.
I'm over here in the Sunshine State where my wife is at home suffering.
I told her to make sure
she shoveled the front end of the driveway. I told her I want to make sure it's clean when I get home.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you'll have to do a lot of honeydews when you get there. let's get into this because I've got some really interesting information.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to recommend that everybody watches. If you can get on Netflix or you can get your hands on these following two movies, watch us, because history is imperative. Understanding all the intertwining of where this has come from is absolutely essential. One is The Secret Files of the Inquisition. The Secret Files of the Inquisition. Why is this important? Because what this shows an equivalent by the Catholic Church, so religious power meeting temporal power, or those who are monarchs or presidents or whatever. And when I talk about presidents, I mean everything from even your local government officials. And it shows how over the years you will see how anything that they wanted, even if it wasn't clearly communicated to the citizenry, that the citizenry were the ones who often paid with their lives, abuse, trauma, taxation, taking of their property. Anything that these who appeared to be elite, who were supposed to be benevolent, really weren't benevolent, but they were really very retaliatory in their actions. And if you look at this from the perspective that it really hasn't changed, it's just their methods have become more subtle, more secretive, and more brutal based on technology. Another movie that most of us probably would often push away from watching, but again, I would implore anyone who is intellectually trying to understand what some of the new levels, as Miss Gloria was talking about, the Tuskegee Airmen, and during the time of Dr. King, when he was standing up and showing the sheer brutality that was happening to minorities, those brutalities were often happening to women and children throughout communities in this country as well. And the fact is that what happened to any white or, and in this context, please excuse my terminology, anyone who was not African American who dared to open up their heart in witnessing the horrific crimes against the African American communities, who would not go along with maintaining that power structure that was in place, such as my mother, what ended up happening to many of the whites who were not willing to support that mentality either through their churches or through their communities and would not raise their children, the following shows the horrific brutalities that have been done to children. And that movie is called Inside Deep Throat. Inside Deep Throat. Now, what this movie is, please know this is very graphic. This should not be allowed for teenagers unless you want to give your teenagers real history. But what this is this talks about the crime scene movie with Linda Lovelace, also known as Linda Borman, who was drugged, brutalized. She was a white young lady of a police officer out of New York, and she became the crime scene victim in this movie, in which the people who put this crime scene together, they had hypnotized her, drugged her, beat her, and then brutalized her into sexual prostitution. This became the benchmark movie in 1972 that then became the template at which a lot of those families who would not stand against or who would not go along with racial brutality of other people, their children, their daughters, both and young men, boys, were subjected to being put into this kind of brutalization. What was interesting is that in the movie, you have people like Senator Keating would stand up against pornography and this type of brutality at the time, who would then be himself a targeted individual when he was named as part of the Keating Five. But they talk about how the brutality that was done to this young woman, it went up to the Supreme Court to be looked at as far as pornography, and they left it up to the individual states to determine if this person was brutalized. And yet you had people like Dr. Ruth and other prominent figures who went and saw this movie who could not recognize that she was being brutalized. And even on Internet YouTube, when you can go out there and you can listen to Linda Lovelace herself, who says, Linda Borman herself, who says that she was being raped on film and no one did a thing about it. And what this is when those crimes happen to individuals, it totally shatters who they are. So this is the repercussions of anyone who wanted a better America other than the absolute brutal and violence that's going on. Now, I want to get into an organization that everybody can go on the Internet. I would strongly recommend you go look at it. It's called the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. Citizens Commission on Human Rights, or CCHR.org. CCHR.org. Charlie Hotel Rodeo.org. Okay? So CCH.org. The significance of this, and please watch the videos, this shows the true history of the psychopathic nature of mental illness and how it's been constructed in this country. There was a U.S. military brigadier general who in the 1940s said that he wanted to put psychiatry, mental health issues, and rule in every area of education, health, well-being. They wanted to infiltrate everywhere. They wanted to put drugs in everywhere. They were talking in this video that bipolar, PTSD, schizophrenia are all made up, and that the DSM-4, the diagnostic manual, this is supposed to be the Bible of psychiatrists, psychologists and others, has been totally made up so that they can infiltrate and drug people out of their minds, and the drugs themselves are causing massive problems all over the place. Now, they do not want you just to take yourself off of these drugs, because to do so to some people may in fact be more detrimental. But please go out and watch this. There are multiple movies, but it actually connects the dots that mental health, the psychiatry world, is connected to eugenics. Eugenics is selecting who is good to have the right to live, and racism. But it takes a step further, because what it also goes on to say, and what I'm making connections about, is that there's a great deal of retaliation against those of us who are good and decent people. And that's why it's very imperative for people not only to watch this, because they're talking in this CCHR, join this organization, watch this, because it's talking about the drugging of our military, the drugging of veterans, the lethal cocktails that the Veterans Administration is giving our military, knowing that it's going to kill them. But it also connects how society at large has been largely impacted derogatorily to do us all great harm. So please go out and look at this. Donate if you can, even if it's a few dollars. The headquarters is out in California. But it is imperative for everybody to begin understanding what's going on, because ultimately, when you are brutalized as a human being, and as the good judge or the good gentleman talked, the legal person talked, and please know I'd like to be able to talk to him as well, because I would hope he'd be willing to add another portion to his request for anyone who wants to run for office. And that is a part that they will agree to step down if they find that there is any judiciary corruption, that they will step down immediately upon learning of the deception rather than it having to go through a trial or petition to get them out of office. We should not have to waste any more time or years or money to get these corrupt people out of office. It should be part of their oath. It should be part of their requirement. And we need to do this right now. So again, please look at these because it will give you an inordinate amount of information. And our history is where the power is for us to stop and change what's going on. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
Hey, all right, Dorothy. Thank you so much. Hey, that was beautiful. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor. How you doing?
How you doing today? Dave, I got you 10 minutes today. So you guys have 10 minutes for us.
Oh, okay. Well, since the last time I talked to you, I've had a serious attack on my throat, so I'm hoping that you can hear me.
I can hear you quite well.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I'm glad you're in California because the weather's been brutal back here. so somebody should be enjoying it. I just want to piggyback off of a couple things here. This lady just spoke. I didn't catch her name, but I wanted to, Ted Gunderson, the senior special agent for the FBI, he made a comment one time and said that the ultimate aim of the government is to have the individual classified as a terrorist, which could subject the person to forced imprisonment or forced psychiatric confinement, fulfilling the major rationale for the Patriot Act, which is part of the U.S. negative eugenics policy. Okay. Again, the point I'm trying to make here is, of course, about technology. Technology that is being used and has been used on U.S. citizens for some 30 to 40 years now, 31 years of my life. And I just want to make it clear that the last time I talked, I was talking about the good and evil, the plus, the minuses, the Christ-like, the carnal, okay, meaning that we're under spiritual warfare, okay? This is a spiritual warfare attack. This is nothing but a satanic attack that's being used on people, and they're using human beings quite naturally to get this job done wherever it may exist, okay? Whether it's, in my case, it's in law enforcement, and I've been doing a serious research project on specifically sheriff departments only because I have a friend that was a sheriff. He was a sheriff's deputy for 32 years right here in Buffalo, New York, in Erie County. And he got with me and told me quite a few things to verify the things that I'm telling you, along with other people like Ted Gunderson. But the bottom line is that just like we have good and evil, plus and minuses, we have good sheriffs and we have bad sheriffs, okay? We have some sheriffs in some counties that are making lucrative sums of money, subcontracting off of experiments that the maybe other government agencies want to complete. There's two sheriff departments. There's one in Wisconsin, Milwaukee County, another one in Oneida County, okay, that have been doing just running rampant for 30 years. And not only have they run rampant with the technology on people, but they also, they're running rampant. They're there to serve and protect, okay? If you follow the line of succession, they really haven't done a whole lot in 30-some years that they've had this technology. I've said before, information technology is a really good technology if it was used for the positive. It could solve a lot of rapes, murders, and child abductions and things like this. but you can tell over 30 years that their batting average is not very good, okay? In fact, it's very bad. Now, the good sheriffs are good sheriffs. They're using it for the good. But the bottom line is because they know about the bad sheriffs and because there's such a brotherhood among them, okay, that they cannot talk about what's going on in another sheriff department, okay, for fear that people will say, well, you have the technology too. What are you doing with the technology? And it would be very hard for them to say, well, I'm using it for the good, when these sheriffs on the other side of town are using it for the bad. So basically what I want to say is that Martin Luther King made a statement when he was alive, and it said history will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. And that's basically what's going on now. Just the same thing that Kenny said a little while ago. People have to wake up. They have to, and if they know something, they've got to speak out against this, because it's reprehensible, Pastor. It's appalling what's going on in our country. And one other thing, a couple things I wanted to say before I get off here, is that there was a video on 60 Minutes. Okay, you're familiar with 60 Minutes, CBS. In 1994, they ran a 15-minute segment with Janet Morris and with her husband Christopher Morris, who are physicists who have done government work. And what they talked about in that particular sequence was information warfare, okay? They never explained exactly what it was meant by information warfare, but it was mentioned in that 60-minute clip, okay, with them. And what I'm trying to say here also is that the perfect people for this is the reason the plausible deniability is trying to be formed here. In other words, the Defense Department doesn't want to, they don't want to be held accountable. The Justice Department, the National Institute of Justice, which is the lab portion of the FBI, they don't want to be held accountable. So they put this down to law enforcement, because law enforcement runs the same way. Okay, it's 3 8-hour shifts from 7 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, from 3 in the afternoon to 11 o'clock at night, from 11 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning. So when you have three shifts going constantly, okay, this is how they figured that they would be able to target individuals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, month in, month out, year in, year out, year after year after year. This is what's going on. These same people, okay, that we hire to serve and protect us, okay, these same people, many of them are responsible. Okay, Lynn Sergala, when she was the vice president of the United States Psychotronic Association, you can look it up. There is such a thing. Just look it up, the United States Psychotronic Association. She was the vice president, and she said in 1991 that there were hundreds of sheriff departments with this type of technology. In other words, information, what they call information warfare or information technology, okay, or information weapons, whatever name you want to put to it, it's synonymous. It's all the same thing. And the big thing, what's really, really bad here, is that many of the sheriff deputies that leave, okay, the sheriff department, they leave their job as deputies, they become investigators for the county attorney's office. I've seen this time after time after time after time. In other words, here they are trained in an information warfare technology, okay, and they're taking their knowledge to be an investigator for the county attorney, okay. So basically, the individual that's being, you know, that's in trouble, okay, he or she has no chance of winning if they don't want them to win at all, okay, because they can trump up a case, because this works on the mind. And remember this, the mind controls the brain controls the body. This is eighth grade science class, okay. It's nothing, not rocket science, it's just a true bill. I'm not here to make anybody believe anything. I just want you to remember what I'm saying, Pastor.
Absolutely. What you're saying is so tremendous. And I know that you do research. And
yes,
most
I do.
People out there may not know you do research. I know if you say something, you have evidence to support it. But I want you just to continue your fine work and just continue doing the things that you're doing. And we need you. We need to let the world know that there's a problem here in this country, and we need to resolve it as soon as possible. See, a lot of people don't even know that we're at war. It's a war.
We are at war.
Yes, we are. But we need to keep telling people we're at war, because this is a war. This is no conflict. But listen, Dave, you got about a minute to say whatever you want, and I appreciate you.
Well, I just want you to know that I'd like to tell you how the technologies work, but maybe I'll do that at another time. But the bottom line is this stuff is these technologies, they were deemed as non-lethal. They were deemed as less than lethal. These technologies are killers. They kill you slowly. That's what Lynn Sergala says. She's a physicist right here from Buffalo, New York. She says they can get you slow kill or they can get you immediately, however they want to do it. Okay, and at any time they want to do it, they can do it. So it's a privilege to talk to you, Pastor, once again. I was so happy to see you, finally meet you when I went to Benton Harbor for Banco, but I hope to see you again sometime, and by God's grace, we will. You take care, and God
bless. All right now. Hey, thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate you, and let's stay focused. Keep spreading this word. It's time
thank
to bring
you.
On my friend Roz, then I'm going to bring Miss Tams on, and then I'm going to bring on Edward, and we're going to do it in that order, and if we have time for anybody else, we will bring them on also. I'm just having a great time. Roz, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm so blessed, and I'm sending out blessings and hugs and love to everyone. And I know that everyone listening today, that the Lord brought you here to listen, and God is just doing a mighty work because we are in a war zone. But it was so wonderful having Reverend Pinckney here. This is such a gift from God. Praise the Lord. It's so incredible. And last night was so incredible, too.
Wow. I tell you, Roz, you got one of the most beautiful homes I have seen in a very, very long time.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a gift from God. And it's
on
English.
There's only one problem, though. It's too high up in the hills.
It's too high.
Yes.
You need a parachute to come here, but
no, we need other things to come up to your home. My nose started bleeding going up that high.
Oh no, I love it up here. It's on Iglesia Drive, which means church in Spanish. So the Lord this house, which is wonderful, and I'm just so thankful you got to meet my friends. We took you to this wonderful restaurant with a beautiful view in Calabasas. Where Justin Bieber used to be or is or whatever. But you behaved yourself. That was good. And my friends, the Bowmans, the chaplains who wrote a book on PTSD, Ann and Bill Bowman, if anybody looked that up. They're just the nicest people. They're my family. And last night, I was so blessed. Richard Fine took me into Los Angeles for the meeting and to hear you speak and to meet Chili and everybody else, which is what a gift from God, which is so wonderful. And I cannot tell you how God works. Nothing is impossible with him. I couldn't figure out how I was going to get to Los Angeles. And by the grace of God, I heard from Richard, and Richard's starting this new thing that we all need to get together and behind him with to help him change the court system and our elected officials. And Richard gave me a ride into Los Angeles, which is far from me and, you know, everybody due to my health issues. But I want to say that this Tuesday, the 18th, I'm going to court for my home health care. The judges had a stroke, so that could be diminished capacity, which I felt it was before with a deal. This is my opinion, that a deal and whatever else, because he's missing his 700 financial filings. So I want to say at LAUSD that Dr. Deasy, who doesn't really care about the students, only the iPads and whatever deals with the Board of Education, all the members, this Don Watkins, the director of disability management there, who pays for doctors, Dr. John Stauber, with his $16,770 bogus medical report. And I want to say that all these people should be removed and put into jail for breaking the law. We have Charles Smith, who's dead, a teacher, who they denied his medical benefits. They denied paying him as they have done for me, which I am trying to hold on to the house and can't pay my bills. And at times I haven't had money for food. but by the grace of God, I am still here. And I'm going to say again, Dr. John Stahlberg, who writes bogus medical reports, if you need one, from Santa Monica, California. Judge Gerald Cohn, who had a stroke, who probably has diminished capacity, which I always thought he did. Dawn Watkins, the queen of delays, denials, and death, which is, it's a sin to kill people, and it's also a crime. As Dr. Deasy, Holmquist, their general counsel, now has a new $10 million lawsuit, and the Board of Education. And any parent listening to me, any concerned citizen, any taxpayer, if you do not stand up and you keep allowing LAUSD to destroy the education of the students and their health and their lives of the older teachers by putting them in teacher jail, what you get is your fault. Stop complaining. Get together. Start calling. These people need to be removed. Killing off teachers is a crime, is a sin. And this is an educational institution, Los Angeles Unified School District, which was one of the worst in the country. That is why, because when you bless the students, all of them, no matter from what economic situation they're coming from, what color they are, what language they speak, because some of them it's hard for them to speak English, and they're trying so hard, and we are not giving them a proper education. When we bless them, then they end up blessing us. Being a blessing always comes back to you a hundredfold. And when somebody's blessed, you know it can happen to you. But destroying their education off these iPads that they have spent billions of dollars on, that the educational programs aren't even completed so they can really use the iPads properly. They've stolen them. They've watched porno on them. They haven't bought the headsets. Maybe they have by now. This is a school district also with 300,000 truant students, which will end up in jail, which is a whole business in itself. And also, everyone that has a gift and a blessing from the Lord, because you know you all have one, I know that, please share it. Share it with everyone. Share it with adults. Share it with the students. Because many people I meet, even in church, I realize that they have a hard time reading, either from a disability or whatever's happened to them. But we're compassionate, we're loving, we need to be helpful to each other because it's such a blessing to reach out and help others. And that's what I want to say today.
All right, Roz, that was beautiful. I want you to know that I truly enjoyed you. It was a tremendous moment, I felt. And we also got a chance for Richard Fine to come and speak last night also, and he's just a tremendous character. I don't see how we can lose if we stand with him on these issues. So I want you to let him know that I will be standing hand in hand with him and helping him fight these issues. And we got to get the word out. We got to make sure that people are listening and understanding, because a lot of people probably do not understand exactly what we're saying here. But this is too good to pass up. It's a start, you know. It's a start. That's what it is. I'm looking at it as a start. But listen, Roz, on that note, I got to move on. I'm running out of time. But I want you to know that I love you, and we will definitely talk soon.
Okay, and I hope you're coming to court on Tuesday. But if not, I know that you're there, and everybody please pray, because I know that they are there, and I want to thank everybody for your prayers and being there, because you're in my prayers. And, Ralph, we're praying for you and Lynn, because we want you to be okay. And I didn't like hearing that you got sick, Ralph, at all. And Lynn, I want to hear that you're both totally healed. But we're going to win. God is with us. When God's
all
with
right.
us.
All right. Very good, Roz. Love you and talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. All right. Ms. Times, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Reverend Pinkney?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I've just been sitting here enjoying, you know, your show. And I wish actually that I have could have been able to speak to Attorney Richard Fine. And, I mean, it's good that you have the gentleman on that knew FBI agent Ted Gunderson, because he exposed a lot that was going on in the government with the CIA and what they were doing, people and to children illegally dealing with sexually inappropriate behaviors in the system, the government. So I'm just still waiting for us, you know, to get together to do what we had talked about doing. But I really enjoyed the show today a lot.
All right. Well, Ms. Times, you know how we do it, and it's important that we get the word out, we spread the word, get your message out, and give you an opportunity to say what your heart desires. Talk to me now. Tell me what you want us to know.
It's just, you know, like I had said before, everyone has to find a way that we need to all meet one another, you know, probably try to do it in different states or do it in Michigan to get together, you know, because some people have information that the other person don't have and how to proceed and move forward and dealing with what each, you know, individual is going through. And I think that's just one way, you know, to get things started, because definitely we have to get into the court system and change what's going on there, because, you know, families are being destroyed, children are being destroyed, and it's not okay. And these people are criminals who call themselves judges that allow this to go on.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely, and the number one thing, we have to learn to work together. See, that's like a secret weapon to most people. Most people don't understand that we have to learn to work together. If we can learn to work together, we can win this battle. We can win this war.
You know, and a lot of times the people in the court, the way they would mock me and say, who do you think you are? You don't have a degree. We have degrees. You know, and I told them, you know, I have a lot of common sense, and that's something that they're not using, and how they're going through hurting people, and the judges actually have showed fear when I go into court, because I don't feed into all that garbage that they, you know, they push out. Because they're criminals, and I let a judge know that you're a criminal, you know, and I've been thrown out of the court several times because I stand up to them and let them know, how can you ignore evidence of this, you know, multitude and call yourself a judge. And I've had to tell a judge, one in particular, Mark Slavin in Detroit, you know, you committing crimes, you're allowing child rapes to go on, you know, dealing with my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, with our children. And you don't even care to do your job. And when I do my own research on these people, I find out that this is a pattern of practice that they, you know, commit. They continuously commit the same crime to different people.
Interesting. All right, Ms. Tan. Listen, I want you to stay focused and do what needs to be done, and let's take this thing to another level. Listen, you got 2 minutes to say whatever you are desiring, and I got to move on.
I pretty much said everything that, you know, I wanted to say today. I was just really enjoying your show today because I think it was really powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, I'm going to bring on my good friend Edwin. You just hang in there. Well, I just want you to know, Ms. Tan, that we love you and we're going to do whatever we can to help you. And that's a promise not to say so as soon as I can find the time, okay?
Okay.
All right, then. Edwin, are you there?
I certainly am. Reverend Edward Pinckney. Do you know what Edward means? I'll tell you. It means wealth guardian or guardian of wealth.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
That's right. And certainly your health has been considered your wealth for many, many years. As a matter of fact, the body is a temple. And if you don't keep the temple pure, then it's housing the highest, holiest truth of this life, you, the living truth. Which you won't need 2 + 2 = 4 if it wasn't for the life inside of you. So if you don't keep the body clean and pure, then you can't experience the experience that comes from that highest truth, which is pure love, a feeling of pure peace, a feeling of joy, a feeling of the being vibrating. That's what all those words represent. It just represents a feeling. One of the things that I learned is how to purify the body by pulling out all positive ionic matter. I use calcium bentonite clay, which adsorbs to its elongated surface and absorbs 33 times its own molecular weight in positive ions. Positive ions are the most important thing to get out of the body in order to return the body to normal homeostasis. Pure calcium bentonite has been utilized for thousands of years to pull out toxins, poisons, heavy metals, chemicals, radiation, unwanted bacteria and viruses from desired specific parts of the body, including the entire body at once in the baths, but you can target individual areas. It pulls it out when I pile it up on the kidneys, the liver, jammed or aching joints, bruises, muscles, soreness. Basically, any sports injuries can be healed in one-third the time. Back pain, sprains, carpal tunnel syndromes, abscesses, cysts, boils, polyps. I'm just reading something that I wrote myself. Tumors, tendinitis, swellings, inflammation, broken or fractured bones, most dysfunctional skin disorders, infected or gangrenous wounds or sores. That means I can completely reverse all of those particular situations, or teach people how to do it, actually. I don't do anything. Nature does it itself with a calcium bentonite clay coming out of a 43-million-year-old volcano that's absolutely pure, never needs to be cleaned or refined. That would take away the negative charge. It is passed by the FDA as GRAS, generally regarded as safe for human consumption, and NASA for the reversal of the osteoporosis, which has been an extreme problem since the 1960s. Let's see, I'll read some more. You can reverse all sunburns, burns. You put it on top of burns. It's amazing how it reverses the burns within seconds. It cools it down. All the blisters flatten out and go away. It might leave a lighter colored skin from the burn. Gets rid of all raised scar tissue on the body. Tightens up and all of the face where you don't need to get electronic, you know, tightening of your skin. Saves you a lot of money. Let's see. Blisters, snake bites, spider, insect bites, wasps. Now, I've experienced it over the last 12 years doing every one of these things. Varicose veins, age spots that are on people's faces, all goes away. You know, the discoloration of the skin. I noticed on a lot of my black friends, they had different shades of black on their face if they were older. And I said, you weren't born like that. You didn't have that when you were younger, did you? No. I said, watch this miraculously, completely even the color of your skin out. Let's see, age spots, wrinkles, warts, eczema, shingles, psoriasis, rosacea, skin irritants, rashes, poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac. Completely just absorbs it all right out of the skin. It pulls the blood to the surface of the skin, pulls out all the heavy metals, as I said before, all the radiation out of your skin, allows you to be free of all the contaminants in your body. It takes TIs and completely pulls out the heavy metals so that the frequency they want to use on them is what actually hits the heavy metals that are in their body. And they're going into our body constantly from all of the foods and the air that we breathe, the chemtrails that are being sprayed. We're being bombarded with all of the wrong things. We must keep our bodies clean. I'll go on reading. I was just talking again. Cradle cap, okay, leprosy. Leprosy is the flesh-eating disease. The World Health Organization says that the calcium bentonite clay regrows the skin, which is Borrelia virus, and completely reverses the flesh-eating disease, which is leprosy. Stops the infection, okay. Melanoma skin cancer. I personally have witnessed it completely reversing all the melanoma skin cancer on several individuals that I've recommended to use it. Hemorrhoids, athlete's foot, toenail fungus, the gout, and herpes. I have recommended it to individuals that had breakouts of herpes and had the gout constantly every month, had to take pharmaceuticals, the wrong thing to take. I get everybody to get rid of their pharmaceuticals by starting to cut them in half, by completely reversing whatever it is they're taking it for naturally. There is a natural way to reverse everything. One of the ways is the calcium bentonite clay. I've actually used it on bullet wounds, knife wounds. A dog was dragged 3 blocks under the car, and the half of its skin was pulled off under the car. And my son packed the whole dog in bentonite about 10 years ago, took it to the vet the next day, and the vet says, there's no way this dog, this just happened to the dog 36 hours ago. You must be lying. And my son said, yes, way. He says, the dog's up wagging its tail and the skin's regrown. Well, that's what it does, the calcium bentonite. Regrows the skin absolutely quickly from burns, from abrasions, no antiseptics. It's totally antiseptic. I didn't even need stitches when Robert shot the palm of his hand open. I just put the powder on there, and I had heard it coagulated. The first month I ever found out about it many years ago, it got hard or something, so I put it on there, and sure enough, it got hard as a rock. I put a big blob of the bentonite clay on there, and it was amazing. The next day, I told him, don't take it off until tomorrow. So he went home, left it on, took it off, and it was flat as a board. No bleeding. The skin was white, like it had been soaking in water for a week or a month. You could scrape it off with your fingernails, it looked like. I said, you know what? Let it air out. He let it air out, and I paid him for feather dusting in my warehouse that day. Well, I've got to tell you, I said, put it on that night again. Let's do it again tonight, and let it air out again tomorrow. Within several days, the skin was completely healed, no stitches, no antibiotics, and no sign that it ever existed. I was totally flabbergasted and amazed. I have poisoned myself and others, and within 20 minutes, it reaches into the deepest part of your intestines and stops all the pain and pull out the poison. You must follow up with it afterwards. One time I didn't, and I paid the price. You must follow up with it afterwards and pull out all the toxins out of your gut so that it doesn't inflame again, and there's no chance that the toxins are still in there. If you want to check out some of the testimonials, how one bath alone reverses a grown-up who had autism since they were a child and hardly spoke, took one bath and started talking. It wouldn't shut up all night every time they took a bath. Just go to a website, ABC Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, abchealth.info, I-N-F-O, abchealth.info, and you can read a load of the testimonials for specific things, like Doc Mike was amazed when he used it on autistic individuals, and he was amazed when he drank it that his eyes improved. Well, click on eyes and see what other people had to say about their eyes. Click on every type of skin disorder, I don't care, blemishes, acne. Give me a call, and I'll show you also how to reoxygenate your body and reverse everything. By the way, I've taken dogs with massive tumors in them that couldn't get up off the floor, and we've completely reversed them and made them young again, got rid of all the cancer. And I do this for humans, two-leggeds and four-leggeds. I teach them what to do, and they don't have to be poisoned by chemotherapy and radiation. The doctors, by the way, and I'll tell you more if you give me a call, the doctors actually have they're the sickest people in the country, dying at 56. They have the highest rate of suicides amongst all the professions except for psychiatrists. And let's face it, they don't know how to cure anything. They're not allowed to. If they do cure things, they're kicked out of the AMA, which we endearingly refer to as the American Moron Association in Hawaii and in Chicago. Doc Mike calls it the American Murder Association. If you trust your doctors,
right.
Here's my phone number, 818-613-9206. 818-613-9206. Take your health into your own hands.
Very, very good. Hey, really appreciate you, Edward, but I got to move on. But keep everybody updated on that, because it sounds like it's something that they can work. So now,
helping a lot of people from your show.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, Occupy the PGA, May 24th, 2014, in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Be there. I know my good friend Ken Rowe is going to be there. I'm hoping that Ralph will come, and I'm hoping that others will come. Also in May, the last week of May, I will be also going to New York. I'm going to be in New York for a whole week. So, unfortunately, once again, my wife can't come. But it won't be snowing. I want people to understand how important it is that we get out here and do something. They always complain we run fast, but we don't run long. They claim that we're quarter horses who can only run a quarter of a mile. They say we're so busy we're not even busting a grape. So listen, folks, let's get down, let's get out here, and let's start doing the things that need to be done. And look, it's something that we all can do. We can win this war. We can win this battle. But we must work together. And we can do it. Matter of fact, I'm betting my life on it. I'm betting my life on this, that we can win this battle, hoping that everybody will join me in the fight for your rights. It's important that people understand how important it is. It's important that people get out and start doing things. We must stand up and fight for the future of our children. Until we're able to do that, they're going to continue to be beating us down. Also, Attorney Richard Fine, I think he has a great idea. I think it's a great start. I think that we all should participate in this. Let's get out here and let's start doing things. And then remember, fight for your right. I will talk to you next week. Same time, same station.
But she really didn't, but she thought she knew. But then MK, MLK, Ultra. Because that microwave, that the government's supposed to be microwaving you, targeting you, and stuff like that. So that's what I do. Yeah. So, you know, I let him talk. One girl I was in Gary, Indiana, they brought me this girl, like her face has been burned, you know.
Uh-huh.
She'd be brighter than myself.
Uh-huh.
But now she's so dark, you know, because of the microwave.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I listen to it, you know. I don't tell them if they're not telling the truth. I don't know if that's what you feel.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a problem with it. Because you're the one that live with it.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my thing is to listen to you and find out what I can do to help you solve whatever problem you have.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I do.
Right. Right.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's a long time to talk about something. We have, you know, people are coming. You know, everybody has their thing that they're suffering from. And you have to let people talk about their stuff.
Yeah. It's important when you talk about targeted individuals too. It's important that you get the word out in reference to it. This happens.
Uh-huh.
You see. So that to me that's the most important thing. It's happening, but most people don't believe it.